My name is Barry Pierce, and I live in Wants Road, Malden. But I don't come from around this way, I'm a foreigner. I come live from the other side of the river, and people think they mean Crixie, but it's the other side of the Thames. I was born near the top of Shooter's Hill, in what used to be Kent. And Kent, in the old days, used to go to South Woolwich and across the river, and North Woolwich used to be in Kent, which is confusing. Now it all comes under London. Anyway, when I left school, I went to art school at Camberwell, and I found that absolutely boring. Because I used to go on Saturday and go there. And we had to draw Crisp and Crisp. It was a weird chap, but he used to pose and keep dead still. He's marvellous. But on Saturdays, they used to have a beautiful young lady, naked, from the Slade School of Art, and the whole room was packed with people drawing her. Oh. But I was more interested in old London buses then. And we had a holiday, family holiday at Clacton. Which is, my mum and dad just sit on the beach, and that's all they do, that's their holiday. They didn't go, we could have, you know, he's got a car, why didn't we go to Harwich? It would have been interesting. And perhaps there's some other interesting places as well. But and one day, I said to my mum, can we have some money? And we can go on the putting green up on the top at Clacton. I remember we stayed at a caravan on this field with all the other caravans. Anyway, we went on the top. I was with my sister Christine. We never went, my younger sister never ever did anything with her. She just stayed with my mum and dad. And I happened to just stretch up and look out to sea, and there's this brown-sailed vessel sailing by. I was, oh, look at that. And the wind was just off the land, so on the down below where you go onto the promenade, and you go on the beach, and the waves, little wavelets were coming in and reflecting the brown sails, and I thought, oh, look at that. And I said to my mum, oh, can I take a photograph? And she said, no, I haven't got many left. And oh, that done it. And I just stood there and watched this barge slowly. I didn't know it was a barge. Just slowly going up along the coast. And anyway, my dad bought us some I Spy books. And one of them had got I Spy Thames sailing barges. And there's a little picture of one, exactly like we saw it, you know, the starboard side. Then there's one with a wheelhouse, because that was an auxiliary, got an engine in it, and the sails. Then one with no sails, just a mast and derrick. Then one just a hulk. And you get 10 points. So we've already, we got 10 points, we saw. And after our holiday, we come back. I said to Christine, this Thames sailing barges, they must be sailing on the Thames. So we somehow managed to get to Woolwich and go on a ferry looking for these barges. The river was fairly deserted, but we just went on a ferry. We'd never been on there before. We'd been on there in Dad's car and got off across the river and gone to where we were going. And we just sat on half there, and it's, and all the people started going and looking at on the starboard side, looking. And all of a sudden, I see this brown sail. So we went over there and looked. We went really, the ferry almost stopped. That's why they all went to the side. So they're paddles then, steam ferry. And that was the Anglia sailing barge. I hadn't noticed it coming down. There's flood tide. And I thought, God, she's got a lot of X in the topsail. Anglia, London on the stern and on a little boat behind. The youngest skipper at the wheel, wooden wheel, and this young chap was mate up forward. Oh, God, look at that. And she went down towards, there's lots of sticks and string on the point down there, which was other barges, and she's going towards them. So when we got to the other side, we got off the ferry, rushed down and into up to the there's Victoria Park there. We went along, and you look over the railings, and she's moored up on the outside of some other barges. And the nearest one this way, I found an old fag packet, and I got a bit of a pencil in my pocket. I wrote the name of it down, Salata. But I've still got it somewhere, and I've got too many T's and L's. You know, their names don't mean anything, does it? A lot of people still, the people that go on it, still don't know what it means. So we've got another 10 points, you see, for our ice pipe. Plus there's some other barges on there, just as motor barges.
So how did you progress from just looking at barges to actually working on a barge? How did that happen?
My mum wanted me to be a... not an artist. What's the other word for being an artist?
Illustrator?
No.
No. Technical craftsman?
Yeah, there's a word for that. I didn't know what it meant. Well, I've got to know the old, you know, me and Christine used to go off on our bikes and go, like, we ended up at Greenwich at Norton's Yard. And you'd talk to the old boys there repairing the barges. Then I got to know a skipper of the Colonia. She was a lovely barge built at Sandwich, 1897. And on a little trip from there, up into the South West India dock, and we had to heave and pull because she's no engine in her. And I got to know lots of other skippers. But I ended up working for Horlocks at Misley. I got dreadful asthma when I was a little kid, you know, really bad. Because I'd already been to the Isle of Wight and lived with the nuns there at a convalescent home, which is... I worked it. It was about 1950 when I was down on the Isle of Wight. And I see this very nice lady. There's a crowd of us, all us little kids from London, all coughing and spluttering from all the bombing and the smoke and all that, you know, then the smog. But we was down the front at Ventnor, where this convalescent home was. And she said, I must have been small, because she bent down, I can see her, and I bent down. And she said, see that ship on the horizon? And I knew what a horizon was. I said, yes. She said, you won't see another one of those. She said, well, that's got four funnels. That's the last one of those. Going to the shipbreakers. And Carol looked it up for me, you know, Aquitania. So I just saw, you know, I used to go to school on the trams in London, and they all come off. Then the trolley buses come off. Trams in 52, trolley buses in 62. And when our trams come off, because they used to run along the bottom of the road, I had to get on a brand new bus. It's a picture one there, look, one of those. And I thought, oh, it's wonderful. But I used to go with Christine to go over the ferry, looking at the barges on the buoy. Some have got Malden on the stern, you know, the portal registry. But I ended up on that Spithead. She was landing, 1916 she was built. She was a landing craft, converted to carry cargo. I was a third hand. But that was boring, really.
So what sort of work did you do?
Well, we used to go up into the docks, and I used to have to cook a bit of dinner and breakfast and things like that. They thought that was wonderful, having a third hand on there, and steer. But the skipper really didn't know what he was doing. The first skipper, when I went on there, he was a nice old boy, proper skipper. But I didn't know he'd got the sack and he's working out his freight's notice. I don't know what he'd done wrong. Then this young skipper come, a smashing chap, and so was the mate. But we went... one night we'd gone past Tilbury Jetty one day at night. There's no need to be close in there, we was too close in. And I was making a cup of tea in the galley, it's got a little galley, and I was carrying a cup of tea up the ladder into the wheelhouse, put it on the little shelf where the compass is, and I looked out the window and it's all black. I mean, there's lights everywhere really. And I said, quick, pull the wheel, come this way, quick, quick. And the skipper did as I said. And I said, now go the other way. And it was the end of this great big wooden jetty. As high as this house they are. And we was going straight for the end of it, the rounded end of it. And we was flat out. God dear, oh dear, we'd have gone through the wheelhouse windows, I reckon. And patrol boat come along, or customs or what they are, and said, oh, you're all right, Skip. Yes, yes, steering jam, but we're all right now. Oh, that was close. Another night we come out of the docks, and there's the colliers used to go on the boys opposite the entrance to the Royal Docks, King George. Then they used to come over and either unload their coal as Barking and as Beckton. Anyway, we locked out the dock. All you've got to do is go across the river and just work your way down the starboard side. So we come across the river and you can see the ship, this collier come off the buoys and is sheering across the river to go to Beckton. And we run into this ship, run into the side of her. Bang! My mate nearly went over the side with the boat sliding off the hatches. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, we come away like this, and the ship carried on. Then away we went again, and hit the bloody ship again. I mean, the skipper had already said to me, Barry, can you come up in the wheelhouse? I want some moral support. And the windows are like the old train windows. They've got straps and the windows come down. Didn't break, bit of luck. Then there's a megaphone from the wheelhouse of this collier called the Mr. Thurm, because you got Mr. Thurm painted on the side of her. What the hell do you think you're doing? You know, as a pilot, I suppose. What can you do, you know? Good job she's strongly built, that old spit is, you know.
So, Barry, when did you first come to Maldon?
Right, I come out of that spit head and I went, mate, to a barge, a Faversham barge, called it Edith. No, I didn't get on with the skipper. He still owes me £200 years later. Then I went on the Edith May, like as a passenger, to occupy something else. With a mate of it, Tony Shell, he lives at Tiptree now. He decided he wanted to go on the port light because she hadn't got a mate. She was in the docks with us. So he went on the port light and I ended up mate of the Edith May. And we used to go to Faversham. I don't know if we went to Whitstable. Oh, Dover, Pulp to Dover we did. But we never come to Malden for a long while. We did a lot of work to Battlesbridge and Fingrano, Colchester, Ipswich, Misley.
Can I ask, what was the barge carrying?
Well, mainly bags of cattle cake.
Right.
Or we'd take maize. Or, like wheat to Cranfields at Ipswich, flour mills, or to Malden. Timber to Sads. All stacked, you fill the hold up and you load it all up on deck. And one day we got orders to come to Malden, and we went in one of the docks and you load out of the ship timber for Sads. And I remember we'd come, that was a lovely trip down, it's nice fine weather. We come over to Spitway, and then we're heading up the Blackwater. And you can't hardly see any land, and you gradually get so you can see Mersey and Clacton over there. But in front, it looked like lots of trees. And as to when they was building the power station, and we got up nearer and nearer and nearer, these trees was laid up ships. And my skipper's got a bit of paper there, and as we get to them, he's writing the names down. You could get a little gap between them, and I remember that Bill Brush, I think it is, was it, or Maureen Brush, whatever she was, with ballast, she used to load up by Fullbridge, shingle or sand, take it up to London. You could just only see her now and then between the ships that are all swung. That's early on the tide. And the top load of ships were tankers. And I remember my dad took me to see a film, that's called San Demetrio, where the crew of the ship during the war, they get bombed, and that's on fire, and they get in a lifeboat, and they got some little set the sail, and they're all bobbing about in the studio, people rocking the boat about. And they're getting sort of short of water and food. They're in the middle of the sea. Then they see this ship. That's the one that they come off of. It didn't blow up. That was an old tanker, And they got aboard and put the fire out and got her underway. That's San Demetrio. But these little tankers down the river, I think there's three of them, they was all sand something or other, exactly the same as that ship. I've still got the Miles Skipper's list under there.
So what were your impressions of Malden?
I was getting there. Anyway, up we come, and we were too early on the tide to come up. And we anchored off Steeplestone, isn't it? And opposite, which is Goldanger Creek, there's two little smacks there. See the blokes on them doing something. And they set the sails. They sailed out the creek, and away they sailed on their way to Malden early on the tide. And that's the only time I ever saw the Malden smack sailing. Just the last time, probably. Anyway, later on we get the anchor up, and then we're coming up, and as we're going past Avery's Basin, my skipper said, that's a Centaur in there. And they'd locked her in and just left her there. They didn't put her in the basin. Just a stern there. Well, then we come up and round the prom and up. And as we're going by the quay, the Gippings there outside, I think the Sawcott Bell. And you can see the husband and wife on there and another chap painting the gears lowered and they're painting the spars. Got no sails on them. And my skipper said, ever so loud, and he stutters. He said, pumped half the Thames out of her. I thought, they didn't hear him. But he'd been in the Gipping.
That was John Prime's boat, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was John and June on there.
Mm.
Yeah, we went up and got the... When you get the Sads, there's a row of barges there. They're like what they use for lighters, old barge holes. Mm.
Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, that's 1958.
58.
Yeah. I've got the cargo books, but I couldn't find the one with it in.
So how was it that you came to live in Malden?
Well, I ended up at the end of, at the beginning of 1959, that'd be. My skipper packed up and I went skipper, beat of May. Then I ended up in Mermersey after that because she was sold. Vernon Harvey wanted her to rig out for racing, which he did. I didn't know she was for sale, you know. So I took Mermersey and blow me, somebody wanted to buy that. And I'd already bought one of those fishing boats from Tollesbury. So I lived on the fishing boat at Manningtree. I messed about and did a bit of lightering for Peter Orlock and general mess about. Yeah, I don't know why I've come round to Malden. But I moored on Cook's Yard, you know. And I come to Malden about three times. And the third time, I brought timber here. And the Lady Ellen was up at Green's Mill unloading wheat. And the skipper over said to me, come and shop me with us later on. And I thought, well, that's funny, because I just go by the old iron bridge that was here. The traffic was still going over a wooden one, temporary, put before the war. And there's little bakers there. And as you go over the bridge at the bottom of the hill, there's a nice little shop there, sells most things you want. And there's a telephone box, and the pillar box is still there, the Victorian one. And I thought the traffic just goes up the hill into the countryside. So we go up, walk up the hill, and then we went right. I couldn't believe it, there's a Woolworths and a wedding at the church. I didn't know that bit was there. I've been walked along the front, down to the quay and that, you know. Dear, oh dear.
So you decided to stay?
Yeah, I worked for John Prime. He worked at Danbury there and I messed about there for a little while. Shipwrights got upset with old Cliff Cook and they left. So there's only John Pitt there and Alf the boat builder. And I went and helped them.
In Cook's Yard?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we had orders to build 3 30-foot motorboats, motor launches, clinker built. And Ronald, who owns the Brent, he'd come and work with us as well. But we was building little barge boats, like the latter when they'd rigged her out and she wanted boats, so we're building them. Oh, John Pitt, bloody marvellous to work with, you know, Wayne Elf. But eventually old Cookie got old and he's going to retire. And then we heard that they wanted to knock the old shed down and make a turning circle for the cars that come down. And, you know, and have parking there as well. So we got Cookie transferred the lease to me and Gordon Swift to own the Dawn, because I was sailing the Dawn as well, chartering weekends and during the week, or taking his Vicuna away, because he lived on that in the basin. Sometimes I took the Marjorie away, or Centaur. That Centaur's lovely little barge to sail, or so was the Dawn, you know.
So you had a busy life. You were running Cook's Yard.
Yeah, in the end, yeah, I give up to sailing the barges to run the yard, because poor old Gordon. It's a good old lad, but we didn't really get on. And in the end, I bought him out. Then David Patient come and work for me, and Rick Cardy, what died recently. They all went lovely, got busier and busier.
How many people were working there?
At one time, I think it was about 24.
Really? 24?
They weren't all, there was like people from the basin who work on yachts and things.
Mm.
They come and helped us because we ended up with too much work, really. But we had Lady Daphne to re-rigger. She'd come out of trade.
So you were working on all sorts of boats, barges and others?
Yeah. But in the VAT, they put that up to about 25% or something. People couldn't afford a little boat. Crazy. It's all right for the barges because they was like company, weren't they? They got it back.
Barry, where did you get the timber from?
There's a big company in London called Mallesons. We used to order it from there.
Mm.
Or Blackwater Timbers down the basin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you want oak and that.
Mm.
Or trees. Oh, there's a firm over... Oh, where is that? Over in Kent, I went there. They do telegraph poles. But really, that's quickly grown softwood. It's not very good. Marjorie, they bought some spars from there. And I think they broke a couple of them. But people want Douglas fir, but I like larch. Larch, that gets harder as the years go by. It's strong, that's nice timber.
And could you get hold of the larch?
Get it anywhere then.
Good.
Mm.
How many years were you working and owning Cook's Yard?
I think that was 10 years.
Mm.
Not had enough. So.
But was it a good 10 years?
Oh yeah, wonderful.
Satisfying.
Yeah, the last one we done was a hydrogen. She come out of trade. Rigged her all up. And the inside for Bell's Scots Whiskey.
Mm.
Oh, we used to have the May. She Silvertown Servitors, that's Tate and Lyle. Used to meet some interesting people.
Mm.
Mm. We had some awkward ones. The skipper of one of the barges had a lot of work. He owned the barge, so we'd done a lot of work on it. And he got his invoice and he paid it all except for £200. And I sent him a bill for the £200, never did get it. Then we had another barge come on the yard, did a lot of work on that, gave him the invoice. He paid it all except £200. And I never did get that either. And I think that's the thing they do in Kent. Because both these people come from that way. I just thought, that's a bit strange, isn't it? It's something they just do. The next time they come, he put that £200 on the bill. I don't know.
So do you think cooks are doing the same sort of work nowadays as you did?
No.
It's changed.
Oh, they have plastic boats now. They don't have wooden ones built. But there's not the work about. The barges have gone too far, most of them. Or David Patience is one of the last of the shipwrights. He's, retired.
Right.
You've already done John from Taylor's, haven't you?
Yeah, John Prime, yeah. Oh, and John Raven?
That's correct,
yeah.
Yeah, we used to take the sails in there and roll them all out and give them a coat of dressing.
Mm.
Mm. That's good in there. Sad it's all different, isn't it, and gone.
Yeah. So when you left Cook's, did you go back to work on the barges?
Don't think so. I just done me paintings and messed about.
You went back to your painting?
Mm. Selling paintings.
Yeah. did you?
Sold one to John Said, the old governor at Said's.
Gosh.
Yeah, well, for some reason I was walking over the Fall Bridge, and old John Said was in the middle of the bridge looking down the river, you know, leaning on the railings. And I said, oh, hello. And he said, oh, hello. He said, I've just bought one of your paintings from the art shop up the old street. I did a big one of the Record Rain that they used to own. Well, they put a couple of engines in it during the First World War, and it went as a cruise ship, which means he's got guns on board. Then they put a deck house that looks like a deck house, but it folds down and they can blow the submarines up. But I don't think she ever blew anything up. But he bought the painting and he gave it to his daughter, and that's in America now. Then David Patience doing a book about John Howard, who built lots of barges at Malden.
Mm.
And I did another one at Record Rain, and David's going to use that for his front cover.
Did you sell a lot of paintings?
Not really, no.
And do you still paint now?
Not really.
A little bit?
Not hardly a little bit.
No.
Doing me Christmas cards.
So looking back on your time in Malden, and particularly at Cook's, what comes to mind? It's a good place to work?
Well, we built that great big shed, that was lovely. An office upstairs, you look out the window and see what's going on.
You had that built? You built it yourselves?
Yeah, I wanted that high, so the office is up out the way of the tide going in.
Mm.
I don't think it's ever been on the floor in there. It's been about from that much going on the floor, half inch. We've had big tides since then, but not quite that high.
Yeah,
we used to be careful putting the barges on the blocks, because you get high pressure, that kills the tide. Low pressure, the tide comes in more.
Mm.
End of this month. That one big tide, isn't it?
Okay.
The last big tide of the year.
So you're saying at one time the tide just came right into the Cook's building?
No, it didn't get in there.
Not quite.
It come up the concrete on the outside.
That much outside, right.
Yeah, the council come along with the sandbags. They put sandbags outside the little doors on the quay there. And there's a great big doors on the end of the shed. They didn't put any there. Oh, they're bloody useless. Yeah, I had to alter the blocks. There was half blocks let into the beach there. So you had to turn the barge round to get to do anything at the other side.
Mm.
Now it's all dark under there.
Mm.
And we got so busy, I put blocks outside those blocks. But it's not busy now. The barges are hardly any left now.
Were you living on the boat while you were at Cook's? On
yeah.
Your boat?
Yeah.
More just...
I bought Sad's old yacht Ripple. No, it's John Howard's first one he built.
Really?
1878.
Gosh. And what happened to that?
Well, I sold that.
Mm.
Well, first of all, I lived on a fishing boat, and I lived on a Ripple. Then someone said, oh, there was a steam tug for sale down at New Haven, Tid Tug. And I'd seen the Brent in the docks. There's other Tid Tugs in the docks as well. So run off the Brent, I said, we ought to go, you know, get some ventilators off for the Brent, because Brent hasn't got ventilators. They took it off. Because they get caught up with the ship's ropes and stuff in the Royal Docks. So we go to New Haven and looked at this tug. Well, she looked better on the Brent. She went all bent up by lighters like they are in the docks. Anyway, we steamed her home to Malden.
Did you? My goodness.
So I lived on that. And then one was for sale as a shipbreakers at Gray's. So I bought that one. Tid 172, and she's down at Cook's now.
Mm.
chap from Kent's bought it, but I don't know what he's going
to
do.
So going back to that journey from Newhaven round to Malden, that was quite a trip, wasn't it?
There was an old bar skipper come with us, old Tommy Baker.
Mm.
And John Dines and Ian Heiner, they come as like engineers.
Right.
Yeah, we come out of Newhaven and we brought up off Margate because that's shut in foggy.
Mm.
And I got a brand new pair of binoculars and I was up in the wheelhouse. And Tom said he'd do anchor watch, so I went to bed. And on the high water, she bloody roll. And I heard something fall down, you know, like, and that was my binoculars. Next day we get underway, it's a nice clear sunny day. Go to look through them like this. Of course, you're looking, you know, I sent them away and had them straightened up. They still don't seem quite right, or my eyes have got different.
So you got it back safely to Malden?
Yes.
You lived on it for quite a while?
Yeah. Lovely old things.
Mm. Mm. And moored at the quay in Malden?
Well, Cookshard. Yeah, Cookshard. Where to head in.
Mm.
But that wore a way her bottom. And she started to leak. I got rid of Creani and lived on that 172. Then I sold the yard to Roger Beckett. I bought a little house in North Street. Then later on, I sold that house. And for a little bit more, bought this one.
When did you move in here, Barry?
1981. And my dog.
And your dog. So that was quite a change for you then, having lived on boats for so many years,
yeah.
To live in a house.
They're so tiny, them cottages in North Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sold it to Gerard Swift, that's Gordon Swift's boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. His dad used to own the Dawn. Well, they lived on the Vicuna in the basin.
Can we go back to your painting? Your art?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Did you paint in oils or watercolours?
You've got a minute, I'll go get a couple, show you what I do.
Let me just pause this for a moment.
Yeah.
So Barry, I'm looking at a wonderful picture of a bus.
An RT.
A London bus.
That's RT1, and they built thousands similar, didn't make it exactly the same.
But there's so much detail in there, must have taken you hours and hours of work.
Yeah, it does.
Are buses your favourite subject for painting?
Well, I do barges as well. Sunsets and...
So this one of a barge, this is pen and ink.
Yeah.
And is there a name for this technique? It looks more like a photograph.
Well, it's just pen and ink, isn't it?
You're very modest.
I've got one. Where is it? It's not in here, is it? No. It's all my childhood drawings in here. I brought down.
So you sold your pictures through the art shop in Malden?
Yeah. Yeah.
And presumably to friends who knew.
Well, they used to have exhibition on the Reminder every year.
Did you? Yeah.
You don't always sell them, you bring the blooming things back, you know. Carol's got some of my pictures on the barge that didn't sell, you know.
And did people ask you to do commissions?
Yeah, but I don't like... Well, these are.
Mm.
a chap, it's a little lad, he's joined a group. We've got one of these buses. And I used to get me spares off him for my one, which is that one up there.
Barry used to own that one. You actually owned the bus?
Yeah.
Where did you keep it?
I used to be in an old wooden barn over at... Oh, I forget where it is now. But the second one used to be in Cook's shed. And all the visitors try and look in the windows, yeah. Just look at the yachts being built in there. Yes. It's a London bus.
And did you drive it around?
No, I can't drive. One of the fitters, I got it from Barking Garage.
Yeah.
There's a narrow bridge that the route masters are 8 foot wide. These are 7 foot six. Until they widened the bridge, they kept these ones going.
Yeah.
And that's when I went and got to know Len, the bus driver. Well, he was a fitter, but he had been a bus driver.
Mm. So was your bus in good condition?
Mm. But they all are when you buy them, even when they go for scrap.
Mm.
Like the tugs and that on the Thames, it's a shame, you know, it's still all right.
Mm. And then you sold it on?
Yeah, I sold it to Noddy Cardy, who you're going to win.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. And he sold it to the scrapyard over in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there with Ronald to have a look at the poor old thing. Where I thought she was rotten aft, where they cut them in sections, God, there's nothing wrong with her.
Mm.
She was a lot better than the Brent.
Mm.
But that's years ago now, you see. That's 1979 when I got my bus. When they finally come out.
Yeah. Well, any more comments you've got about your working life in Malden? Any particular memories stories you want to?
I went mate of that memory for a little while, sailing barge. It's over 60 years ago now. And the skipper of it used to be skipper of the George Smead.
Right, yeah.
He's still alive.
Mm.
His wife died recently, which is a shame. I remember her mate with him on the bus called the Tollsbury. But everyone's getting old and it's a shame, isn't it?
Mm.
John Fairbrother used to sell the kitty from the Key Charter and he's 89 now.
Mm. When the barges were chartered out, they would be carrying all sorts of things?
Well, trading.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anything that anybody wanted moved around the country? Or was it mainly timber?
Well, it says, well, I don't know, they get in touch with a shipbroker, don't they?
Do they?
Mm. It's all done through them.
Right.
They used to bring great big logs from the ships in the docks to SADS. We used to see the ships, they used to moor them up on a buoy in the docks. And they got all these great logs on the deck. And they used to leave them over and, and splosh, and this great tidal wave comes along and everything's rolling about like this.
Say, Barry, weren't you and John one of the first ones to do chartering with passengers, with barges?
I think the Marjorie was one of the first.
Oh, right.
Taking people out for...
People rather than...
Cruises round down the river, yeah.
So the Kitty's at the Quay now, she does charter work. Well, she finished working for Francis and Gilders at Colchester. We used to have a big fleet on them at one time. And she was in the basin doing timber lightering. They tow her down off Osey, then the ship would come up the Stansgate, and they take them down and they load them up with timber, piled high on that.
Mm.
And after she was doing that for Browns of Chelmsford, they put a new electric lock gate in. and they could get the ships in there then with the timber on them. They weren't very big, but we bought it anyway. Ira and the Emily, two old timers, bought them £50 each. And I went down, looked at the kitty and sent her with John Prime.
Yes, yeah.
But the kitty was the better of the two. And I liked the shape better, you know. £300. And we reached old John Fairbrother, he come in with us. And we rigged her out, and then she did a fit her out, and she did a charter work.
Did you have to do a lot of work on her?
Oh, John Fairbrother did most of the work. She's a bit knocked about, like they all are, you know.
But then you started taking people on trips.
June used to do all the phoning and sorting it all out.
Was it the same as it is now, sort of a two-hour trip?
No, depending on the tide? No, these are weekends and weeks, 5 days.
Right. So you could go quite a distance? How far did you go?
Well, sometimes you only go as far as Brightling Sea. Well, if there's not a lot of wind, you just...
Yeah, you're stuck. Yeah.
Weekend, you know, you've got to get back.
But if you had a good wind and a good tide, you could go quite a bit further.
Yeah, I laid in Brighton, you see, once on that kitty, Tommy Baker come skipper, because John Fairbrother, he took that Benta to Drottningholm in Sweden. Then when he went to bring her back, that's when I went mate with Tom. And on the Centaur. I was busy all the time. The Dawn, I used to sail the Dawn quite a lot.
Is the river now, is it very different to, say, 40, 50 years ago?
Yeah, they got light buoys now. So I used to have a couple, but they got more. That's good, that is.
What about the depth of the water?
That's more or less the same, I think.
You reckon it's the same?
The ships used to run aground coming up early on, you know, trying to get the Morden before high water. And they used to run the propellers and build big lumps up, you know, not very good. And off the quay as well. Because I've come to Morden in the Edith May, and we got on one of those lumps, and when she floated, she'd an half leak. As councillors supposed to remove them, you see.
Well, thank you, Barry. Very interesting to hear all your memories.